Welcome to Beyond the Chutes, is presented by Parasite Systems. BTC is on the road again. You know, Sam, I woke up this morning and I'm thinking, BTC's always on the road. I'm wondering if we don't just say, BTC is finally home again the next time we are both back home. What do you think?
Kind of makes sense to me.
But we want to thank Parasite Systems for helping the wheels of the BTC bus go round and round. And we are up here, Sam and I, we are up here in McBain, Michigan, home of the 2023 IPRA Outdoor Rodeo of the Year, Cow Camp of the Houston Family. This great rodeo goes on every Labor Day, four performances over 3 days. And Sam and I have been up here. We came up to Eli Hirschberger's wedding, what part of the Rawhide Rodeo crew.
Yeah, and what a great event. And it wasn't just Eli that got married.
Oh no?
No, he didn't marry himself. Braden was the big part of it.
And, yeah, yes, he was.
What a great facility, and the people were, it was just fabulous. Great day.
You bet.
Great day. See some old friends that we haven't seen in years, and thank goodness you came to a wedding instead of a funeral, because that's the way life leads us these days.
That's right. So, that's some of the times we get together, isn't it?
Yeah.
And great to have Mike Fletcher here. He was the official of the wedding, and nice service.
Yeah, it was. It's always good to see Mike. He's such a great person, and you never know what to expect out of Mike.
Right.
And it's good. You just don't know what to expect.
And that's part of the good, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't know exactly what's
That's why you
going
look forward
on.
To seeing him. But my favorite thing was to seeing all the, what I call my boys, the four special ones in my life together.
And they are?
Well, Colton.
Flynn, yep.
Eli. And Raymond.
Yep.
Great
they were
all
to
in
see
the Raymond. Pardon?
Great to see Raymond. I hadn't seen Raymond in a long time.
He looks fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like he must be, he looks like he's working out, but I'm sure he's not.
Yeah.
He's chasing the little girls around, but his new job must keep him fairly in shape because he looks ready to ride.
He looks good. When I talked with him a little bit, he's got a brand new saddle, new Bronc saddle, Dusty Tinker saddle. And there's a great picture up on Facebook. Man, he has got the perfect form on that saddle, Sam.
Yeah, he broke his good saddle, and a good friend of mine, Mike Allison, had one that he told me to take because nobody's riding it anymore. And Mike was taller like Raymond, and he rode in that a while, and it was good. But when he got this new saddle, he's only rode in it once, but the pictures he showed me was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
They better watch out because he might be back.
Man.
And nobody rides any better around here than Raymond.
You bet.
Ex-Amishman.
Yeah, that's right. And Eli's got the Rawhide Rodeo red shirts, the Wranglers that Sylvain sent down to us. Got the BTC on one pocket and Parasite on the other pocket. And he says he's run down the road with him this year.
Well, I'm so looking forward to see what this does for Eli. And you can say what you want, but this will calm the mind. He's married now. It'll calm the mind
I
and
see.
Make him ride better.
You bet.
He has a place, and it's just wonderful.
You bet. Yeah, good point. Well, we are joined today by two very special friends. I had an opportunity to meet these fine folks 2 weeks ago. We were invited up, BTC was invited up to the King Brothers Rodeo Cowboy Reunion in New Paris, Ohio, and got to sit down and have conversations there with Kenny and Deb Vaughn. And Kenny and Deb, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm glad to see you guys again so quickly, but it feels like we've known each other all our lives.
Yep.
Kind of feels that way already. And that's part of the rodeo deal, right?
Yes, sir.
The family. So let's get started. I know Deb was a photographer, but also a lot of history behind it. And Ken, you ended up your career as a pickup man working in rodeo. But if you wouldn't mind, each of you take us back to the very beginning, earliest memories. Where'd you grow up and so forth?
I was born and raised in Swanton, Ohio, which is just west of Toledo. Mm-hmm. Dad always had horses. He was in the cavalry in the First World War.
Oh, wow.
And we just grew up with him.
Yeah.
And in them days, when I was a teenager, there really was no rodeo in this country. It was Wild West shows.
Yeah.
and then it evolved into the rodeos from there. But I started picking up broncs when I was 14.
Yeah. 14?
Quit when I was 75.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Decided if I hadn't learned how by then, I probably wasn't going to.
Now, that's job security.
That is. Absolutely. And you were picking up in the Wild West shows?
No. Well, after the Wild West shows, okay. They kind of ended about the time I got out of high school. So.
Okay.
But then Bob Spence and his wife had a rodeo company. I was picking up on a horse that been weighed 800 pounds, probably.
Oh, wow.
But at that time, all the bucking horses were the little old Mustangs that shipped in here, and they didn't weigh any more than my pickup horse.
Okay.
So we got along all right.
And how'd you get in the pickup business?
Well, at my dad's house, his theory with them horses were that when we left the house with a horse and a trailer, we were supposed to come home with more money than we left with.
I see.
And picking up, they paid you. That was one way to help pay the bill.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's fun anyway. So did it. And then along the way, I also steer wrestled and rope calves and team roped.
And where'd you learn to steer wrestle? Who taught you to steer wrestle?
Well, you just in them days, you just jumped off and wrestled around for a while. And eventually, biggest thing that happened to improve rodeo up here in my mind is the highways.
Oh, okay.
When I started roping calves, we didn't even know what kind of rope to use. But then as you got the expressways and stuff, hands come up here, knew something, and you could learn something.
Nice.
But up till then, there had been no rodeos in this country. And to me, the highway system is one of the greatest things that ever happened to the rodeo system.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought of that. And you mentioned that yesterday when we were talking. You're about 4 hours, 3.5 hours here from here, south Michigan, right? Down in the southeast corner of Michigan. And about 3.5 hours here.
Right.
But back in the day, how many hours to get up here?
12.
12 hours. That was before the expressways. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't thought about that, but that's, yeah.
Well, that's, couldn't get near as many rodeos in them days. Yeah. You just didn't have the time to do it.
Yeah.
Plus your vehicles and everything was just altogether different.
Right.
Happy to get where you wanted to get.
Well, we used to go to Sparta. Dad'd take us up there. And that was about an 8-hour drive. We had a 39 Chevrolet and a homemade trailer.
So a pickup or a car?
Car. You didn't drive pickups. Them things were geared down to work on the farm.
Oh.
If you got one of them up to 50, it felt like the transmission's coming up through the floor.
Really? So you were pulling horse trailers with cars?
Cars, yeah.
I'll be darned.
And them old cars, they'd pull a couple of horses 45 mile an hour.
Yeah.
But if you got on one of them state roads, somebody was going 35, you might be 5 miles before you got a chance to pass them.
Yeah.
He was already wound out. You didn't have nothing left.
So at 14, what year would that have been, Kenny? Approximately. 1948, you started picking up. And you also were already steer wrestling at that point, calf roping.
But, you know, it was just so much different. I'll never forget, I got a brother a year younger than I am that didn't stay with the horses, but we were at a little horse show rodeo combination trying to bulldog steers. And both runner steers all over the arena and didn't do nothing. And the announcer, he was just an old farmer. He says, you can see right now those boys are going to be great radio hands.
So were there a lot of rodeos you could get to?
That I picked up at?
Well, yeah. And competed at?
Oh, yeah.
You could be busy all summer long?
Pretty much, yeah. And I also laid brick for a living.
Oh,
that
you
helped.
Did. Okay.
Brought in a couple bucks.
Okay. And Deb, earliest memories?
Well, I worked my first rodeo when I was seven.
Seven.
My dad produced Wild West shows with Marlon Morgan, who was a friend of his.
Okay.
And he put on a big rodeo at the Michigan State Fair. It was 13 performances in 10 days.
Holy cow.
And we had Poncho and Cisco one year.
Cisco
and every year they had a big name person come.
Really?
And I had a show horse at the time, and she couldn't take the rodeo. We did square dance on horseback. And so they pulled out a bucking horse out of the bucking string, and I rode him in the square dance on horseback.
That's a cowgirl, Sam.
I did some square dancing on bucking horses, and it wasn't pretty.
No. Really? They pulled a bronc out?
Yep, they sure did. But you could ride him. You just couldn't put him in the chutes.
Okay.
But, and then I just grew up with rodeos. I trick rode and trick roped. Okay. And I went to barrel racing when I got older. We got into showing when I was probably 11, 12, we got into showing quarter horses. I got in the quarter horse business.
Really? Okay.
And I did really good with one mare I had. Won 17 grand champions in 1 year.
Holy cow.
And always wanted to get back in the rodeo, so I always felt like that's where it belonged.
Yeah.
And so later on, let's see, I was showing horses, and we were in Columbus, Ohio, and I seen Kenny again, and I'd known him all my life. And so then after that, Dad hired him to build an addition onto our barn.
Okay.
And the rest is history.
The rest is history.
Been together 60 years.
So. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I saved her from Detroit.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I think she's seen Kenny swinging that hammer, and she was
Twitter
pated.
I told my mother when I was 13, if I ever got married, I wanted to marry a cowboy like Kenny Vaughn.
Oh, wow.
She told me that after we got engaged.
Quiet over there.
I want to go back to the 13 performances in 10 days.
Yeah, 10 days.
At the Michigan State Fair.
Yes.
What year would that have been, and were you were performing in that?
I was probably, I'd say 14, 15 years old.
Absolutely. I sat there yesterday when that crew of guys was riding up over there.
Yeah.
I turned to Carrie. I said, look at the work I could have done if I had them there for a week.
That's right.
Them some workers
That's
in that
right.
crew.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. So, Debbie, pick us up where we were.
Okay. And then after Kenny and I got married, I went to barrel racing.
Yeah.
And I did pretty good there. I never won a championship, but I was second, I don't know, five or six different years.
Okay. And what associations were you riding?
Michigan Barrel Racing Association.
Okay.
It was real big then. It's still going.
It's
still going,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It is. And then I got hurt down in Indiana.
Evansville,
what Indiana.
Happened? What happened?
I don't remember anything.
Oh, wow. What year was that?
Early 50s,
early
I believe.
50s.
It was later than that. Scooters.
Oh, yeah.
The kids were born, so.
Right. Let's see.
65.
1965.
Yeah.
And what happened?
She was running barrels, had a good run going, turned the third barrel, started home, just started sliding sideways off her horse, lid on her head, and jammed her back all up. Evidently passed out for one reason or another.
No. Haven't been right since.
Is that right?
No.
And you're back. I know you've had some.
Just had surgery in September.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from that, you think?
Eventually, the doctor said just wear and tear, but just occupational hazards. So I barrel raced a couple more years, and Kenny says, no, that's it. You're done.
It.
We got
yeah.
kids,
yeah.
and we got yeah. a little boy.
Yeah.
So I ended up helping Jay Barjay. I started with, that's who we were working for at the time.
Oh, okay.
And I started timing with Maggie.
Okay.
And did that for quite a few years.
Yeah.
And then we went to work for Wagon Wheel Rodeo Company.
Confusing.
And I couldn't stand to go and not do anything.
Yeah.
And one of the guys said, well, why don't you take pictures?
Yeah.
And I says, well, I don't know about a camera. So I went to the store and told them what I needed. And it was when Canon first came out with the zoom lens.
Okay.
And the new camera.
Okay.
And I just had to point it and click the camera.
Yeah.
So I just started, one thing led to another. And I ended up the guys wanted to buy them, and I sold them.
Yeah.
And I ended up entering a couple photo contests.
Nice.
And
nice.
I ended up working the IFR and that. And my favorite story, though, of my photography has got something to do with Sam.
Sam, our Sam.
Yes, yes. Okay. We were at a rodeo in, I think it was Davisburg.
I don't know. I was going to ask you if you remembered where it was.
I think it was Davisburg. And I always wanted a picture of a horse coming over top of me real close.
Yeah.
So I'm in the arena, and I'm kneeling down, and Sam's coming right up the fence at me.
On the bucking horse.
On the bucking horse. Yeah. On the bucking horse.
Yeah.
And I just took the lens and pushed him away.
Yeah.
And I heard, "Deb, get out of the way." And I says, "Oh, my gosh, that's Sam. Kaboom."
Oh, my gosh.
He run right over the top of me.
You saw it there?
Yeah, and I know you shouldn't be focused, but something must have caught my attention. And I must have picked my head up enough to see, this isn't going to be good for her.
Yeah.
And I yelled, and I didn't yell soon enough, I guess.
But I rolled right back up, kept taking pictures and that, and my son ran over to the fence. "Mom, get out of there. You embarrassed me." I said, "Embarrassed you? I'm the one that got run over."
And but, hurt at all?
By the time I got home, I was pretty sore. Occupational hazards.
Again, your back? Was it again?
I was back and moved from my ankle to my hip.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. But, and I got to ask, pretty good pictures?
Yes, I got really good pictures.
Well, if you can find one of those, Deb, I would love to put that up on our website.
That was Sam and I's story for years.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering if she knew what rodeo it was, because I didn't. I just...
I'm pretty sure it was Davisburg, or what's the other one we have over that way?
Mount Morris.
Mount Morris. It's either one of them.
Both of them kind of down the hole over there, if you remember.
Okay. So a wreck takes you into photography and into secretarian, and you shot a lot of photographs over the years. How many years did you photograph?
30, 40 years, I guess.
My goodness. And you're going to get us some pictures that we can put up for this conversation.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to be talking with Bobby Toad Cook, and you've got some pictures there, and Jay Barjay and Jim and Maggie this evening. So she's going to get us some pictures from back in the day.
Oh. We worked for Maggie in 15 years.
15 years.
Yeah.
Okay. IPRA rodeos.
Mm-hmm. Well, it started out, it was the old Midwest Cowboys. You remember that, Sam?
No, that was before my time.
And then they went to the IRA after that.
Jim and Maggie Zinser. They had a great brawl. Nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tell us what you remember about that great bronc.
Well, she came from a guy named Frank Jablinski. That him and his dad had a rent stable.
Okay.
And they'd buy back, that's when horses were $75, and they'd buy stuff to use in that rent stable. And they bought her, and of course she didn't work very well in the rent barn. And Jim bought her from them.
Okay.
That's where she came from.
Okay.
In fact, it was Frank Jablinski. They first bought her, they didn't know about. They called her Frankie J for a year.
Oh, they did?
Uh-huh. Then they said that didn't fit America.
What do you remember about that bronc? I mean, easy to handle?
She was halter broke. She'd probably been through enough sale barns, people getting rid of her, get her halter broke.
Right, okay.
No, she was pretty easy to handle and everything.
And in the buck and shoot?
Oh, yeah. No problem, and I remember. She was a big, good-looking mare.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, she wasn't bred to buck and left alone and put in there. They tried to ride her.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why they got her.
Yeah.
Because
nobody could ride her.
Right, right. You
know? Oh, she could really, I got some nice pictures of her.
Oh, wow.
That's for sure.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He bought two of them that time, a spotted horse. He bucks a saddle bronc, Roan Jay. She was bucking horse of the finals year he took her out there.
Okay.
Wow. Huh.
They came together.
Wow. That's a bit of new information we didn't have before. Very interested in this bloodline, of course, gone on, and her grandson, Night Jacket.
Right.
You know, inducted in the PRCA Hall of Fame. What do you remember any great rides or any great wrecks that you might have seen with Nightmare?
I can't remember any.
Ronnie Martin. She bucked Ronnie Martin off so hard. Just so wonder he's still here. And Ronnie could ride. Just, she really bucked.
She bucked, okay.
She got towards the end there where she wanted to quit before the whistle blew.
Oh, she did?
I don't know why, but she did. But yeah. She'd bucked for several years.
Yeah.
Right. Well, some of us...
She was some good colts.
That age she wanted to quit old. Before the whistle blew. So,
Yeah, for sure.
I suggested to Gordy McIntyre, she quit for him, and he was mad. I said, tell you what, next time we buck her, let's rig an electric dog collar in the flank. When she stops, we'll light her up. And Gordy says, and just who do you want to be on her?
All right. So when did you guys work your last rodeos?
Yeah, I guess it was that Super Kicker Finals.
Yeah.
In Willow. I was 75. So.
Oh, wow. Picking up.
I'm only 90 now. So.
Oh, wow. Wasn't that long ago then.
No.
Not really.
No.
15 years.
Yeah. And Deb, when did you stop getting in the arena and shooting?
Same time.
Okay. So are you traveling now or are you out and about? No, not so much.
To the wedding.
Yeah. So let's, speaking of the wedding and McBain and everything, what are some of your memories of this great rodeo?
Well, it started out, Bill Houston and Bonnie were one originals here. And Bill had a kidney transplant. So they started having a Labor Day benefit. The kidney people stepped in and paid a bunch of the bills. So they was having this benefit every Labor Day. And it just started out. Bill owned the stockyard down the road here, so on. And it was just a fun day. Come up here, $5 dinner. Anything come through the ring looked like it might buck. That's what he had for bucking horses. Might be bucking cows or whatever. But everything was free. And any dime that come in went to the Kidney Foundation.
Okay.
And the whole community was involved, of course. But then it slowly over the years evolved to what we got here today.
Okay. And tell us a bit about Bill and Bonnie.
Well, Bonnie was a trick rider and a Roman rider, one thing or another, and Bill was too. Plus, they did a lot of horse trading, and Bill was an excellent cattleman. I've heard stories about him coming out to buy cattle from you in your pasture. Guy, can you give me an estimate on the weight? He'd look the whole herd over, might be 30 head. When they weighed him, he'd be off 150 pounds.
All in. Yeah.
And they said that wasn't just once, that was time after.
Just had the eye.
And they trucked. Bill did truck livestock and stuff. Their one son's Lum. He's got, I believe it's 14 pots out there. He's still doing the same thing.
Okay.
But they've been good people. Yeah. I met them right when we got out of high school. They were my age.
Okay. And how did you meet him?
They used to put on Wild West shows, and that was their roping calves and stuff.
Okay.
But
yeah, they're big in the trucking industry and hogs mainly, like Lum, and the other brother to haul cattle, and they kept it very traditional and close to the best. And it's just how it revolves. I knew Bonnie fairly well. Yeah, she's so friendly to me. When I was a kid, she'd always come up and talk. I never knew Bill. I don't know if he was around when I was ever coming up or not, but Bonnie was always
a
pleasure.
Several years older than Bonnie. They were good to everybody.
Yeah, and I was driving somewhere or something. This is after I was done riding, and at a truck stop or something, and there's Bonnie and on a magazine for trucking.
Okay.
A picture like right on the cover. I'd never picked it up and looked at it. I thought,
okay.
Wow, I know this person. So had a very nice article on her. I don't know if you know the name of the magazine, but.
Yeah, she was on the trucking magazine.
Yeah.
And Dallas, the oldest boy, he trucked, but he coast to coast all the time. He says, yeah, Mom found out your picture was on that thing. And she went to California with me. and back, and she bought so many of them, I thought I was going to get arrested for being overweight.
Well, that's quite an honor. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it was. That's very neat. She's a super lady.
Oh,
super lady.
Nobody got ahead of Bonnie Houston. But if you come with her joking shoes on, you better have some good ones. She would leave you out there.
So our listeners like traveling stories and rodeo stories, kind of unusual stories. So you, and Deb, you already shared a great one with Sam. That's neat. Yeah. You guys made history.
Yeah.
I love that.
We talked a lot after that.
Yes, we did.
So any other stories come to mind, just wherever they might come from?
Oh, I don't know. There's so many, but like we talked about, it was a Wiley West show, and that Marlon Morgan had a little show put on, and he's going to Canada, and he wanted me to come along over there and rope calves. It's just an exhibition. And he said, you can ride with Shirley. That's his wife. Put your rope and horse on the semi and ride with Shirley. Well, so I get in the truck, and Shirley gets in the truck. She fires it up. She says, oh, heck, I forgot something. She got back out, put a hip boot on her right leg, because the truck transmission threw grease all over her clothes.
Oh, my goodness.
And we went to Canada.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is the third or fourth one that we came up with Wild West stories. Oh, and yeah. I've never even gave that a thought on how that had changed rodeo.
Yeah.
And
oh, it was so bad. Like I say, they finally got to where that them Wild West shows, they'd have timed events would be competition. Yeah. And the riding events, they just pay you $10 to get on or something. If my brother or I won anything, Dad'd go sit on the office steps, make sure they didn't run off with the money.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There was no such thing as going to two rodeos on the weekend. Because if you won something at the first one left, you're never going to see your money.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's, I kind of get a kick out of these younger guys whining about how bad they got it today.
Wow. And just getting there. What is now a 3.5-4 hour drive was 12.
Absolutely.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's when I was
the
going,
vehicles.
It was just coming in with the expressways good. But up till then, but St. Louis, Michigan, Missouri was as far as I ever got. But that was 17 hours.
Yeah.
And I was laying brick. Need to be home to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today, you can drive down there in 8 hours.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, that's a good point. And I agree with Sam. We have learned so much about the Wild West stuff.
Yeah.
And you were in the era when it went from, when it converted or morphed or whatever you want to say.
Sure.
And my sense is, we heard this from Jerry when we interviewed with him, they started in the Wild West show he was part of, and this was in Florida, they started doing jackpots amongst their crew.
Right.
So kind of all of a sudden, it isn't just entertainment. Now it's a bit of competition they're getting into.
Right.
So you were there and saw that kind of morph to what is today organized rodeo.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so much different. But at them old Wild West shows, they didn't have a rope and chute to put your calf through or anything. They V'd the gates.
Okay.
Two buck and shoot gates.
Okay.
You get in there and try to hold him straight till I ask for him.
Okay.
Usually the bulldog and cattle, they were just native cattle, horns probably weighed 700. Took three men to hold them in the chute.
Yeah, try to hold them up in a corner.
Yeah. Right.
And it might be on grass.
Yeah.
The arena's on grass.
A lot
grass.
Of them on bald diamonds.
Oh, wow.
Where you run off, about the time you get to your stock, you run off the dirt to the grass.
Oh, wow.
The arena's, mainly them Wild West arenas, they come in, they were just rolls of fence, stock fence, like you use. And they'd unroll it and put a truck at each end and stretch the fence, and that was the arena.
That was the arena.
Oh. Drive a few steel posts along there for you to get hung up on.
I was going to say, beautiful. You could be shish kebab driving. Don't get bucked off on the fence.
When J-Bar-J started, that was Maggie, we unrolled the wire fence, and then the guys that come along with the steel posts and put them in.
I've seen some pictures of that years ago with Maggie, and maybe it was you. I have no idea. We're out in mud unrolling the wire or rolling it up. I don't know.
Usually go get them gas station pennants they used to hang up. yeah. hang him on the fence so the stock could see it.
I see.
A wire fence or
right.
label the buck right into it. Or
yeah. Just sitting here thinking, everybody says how tough cowboys are and all that, but if you come from that generation, you might be bred into it like they're breeding the bucking stock because yeah. How tough did you have to drive 12 hours and do all this stuff?
Rough yeah. and tumble.
Talking along that line, it's Marlon Morgan. Still in business when Zinser went in. And of course, Nightmare was a big deal. Marlon put on them little Wild West shows, and he's in a different town bucking horses every night. He told Zinser, he says, run old Nightmare up my rip. Let her breathe diesel smoke for 20 hours and buck for four. We'll find out how tough she is. And that's the way they treated her. Roy King, at one time, every bucking horse he had was halter broke, and he fed him in hay bags. So he'd show here tonight somewhere else. Didn't have to have pens for him. He could move all his pens, tie them beside the semi in a hay bag.
And you look at the change. Now you buck a horse twice a weekend. That's it.
That's it.
I don't think I've ever, unless there was some kind of mess up somewhere, bucked one three times a weekend in my whole life. Yeah. And Jim and I were talking yesterday how if you get the good ones, you got to take care of them.
Absolutely.
Or the committees won't bring you back if your horses aren't up to snuff. And it's turned into a great business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
High price business, too.
High price.
Buying that stuff.
I don't know about buying it. Putting those shows on, it is expensive. And getting more every day with the expenses, not just for you, but now everybody you pay is asking for a little more money,
absolutely.
And rightfully so.
You bet.
Sure.
Fuel prices and hotel prices and everything just up and down the road.
Food.
Yeah, food.
Doubled from what it was 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you wonder how they do it. I can't figure out where these young people are getting their money. right here, 2 or 3 weeks ago, they had a jackpot barrel race, 404 entries right here at County Hip.
Wow.
And not everywhere, they have girls driving a nice pickup.
Yeah.
$20,000 trailer.
Oh, every bit, yeah.
$10,000 to $30,000 horse.
Yeah.
I am with you so much when the boys started the high school rodeo, and I knew a little bit about it. My daughters played in it a little. It was more social, didn't care. But the first high school rodeo, and I was putting it on, I took the boys to. They came up, and I had to give them a check for $1,100 for my boys compete. And I'm getting paid to put this show on. And it's like, how do these people do it? And they come in, they'd get there before I did with the arena and the stock and camping out. And, but that was their getaway of life.
It's an expensive hobby.
Yeah. Very expensive hobby.
Yes.
And that's what it was. It was a hobby to them. Yeah. Just like I said, I remortgaged the farm to get the boys to be able to go to the Nationals for 5 years.
Yeah.
You were dropping some serious coin.
The National deal is an expensive operation.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And
Your blood will end up with your kids all over the country when it's over.
Yeah. You can't get them together.
Well, Scooter, my boy, they all went to out west rodeo scholarships.
Okay.
Well, they're out there 4 or 5 years, meet somebody, marry, stay out there. He's got three kids, none of them within 800 miles of him.
Oh, wow.
I told him, well, you guys chased them away.
But they're living their dream.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, and they've got good husbands, wives, whatever.
Good.
No, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. And that's what we raised them.
Should be home playing with Grandpa, though.
Yeah.
And how many kids do you guys have?
Just two.
Two.
Boy and a girl.
So Scooter and
Candy.
Okay.
Candy's boy, State, is living in Michigan.
Oh, they are.
He was a good team roper. Real, real good team roper. He could have went on, I think, big time. But he has four children.
Yeah.
So that keeps his nose to the grindstone.
You bet.
And that. But
my son-in-law, Steve Shattuck, he's head of this Mid-States Cowboy Association.
Oh, okay.
Covers several states here. He's doing a heck of a job.
That has really grown. I spoke with him at the reunion. My goodness, the number of rodeos they have.
I think they got close to 90 rodeos.
Yeah.
And things go first circle. That's the first saddle I won was a mid-state.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mentioned the old MCA. It kind of evolved. Well, it went from the MCA to Ohio Cowboys to the mid-states.
Yeah, yeah.
Just same people, just different name.
Yeah. And Blaine Houston, the bareback rider here, of course. He's riding mid-states. I mean, Eli and them, they all get out to
They're all both in standings.
You bet.
Anybody from back here that doesn't preach anything but PRCA, which is undoubtedly the best organization going, but next week they'll be at the Mid-States Rodeo. There's not enough of them to make a living at it.
You got to
go where you can win something.
Got to go.
And you want money.
A lot of logistics in the middle of it. You don't want to drive by Mid-States if there's one.
Sure.
If there's one on your way.
I have my doubts that there's 200 people in the United States that don't do anything but contest and make a living.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough world out there. Yeah.
It is.
It's a tough world.
Competition
is so good now.
The PRCA, there's changing all the time, trying to get more money for the cowboys they can make a living.
You bet.
Zeb Chapman, don't you?
Yeah.
That's Scooter's daughter married him.
Right, yeah. That's small. I seen her out at the IFR, and she told me the whole story.
The director.
And Zeb's out of Georgia.
Right.
Very good roper and very nice man.
And the other daughter, Scooter's other daughter, is with Matt McGee, a rodeo announcer.
Yeah.
And they live in Alabama.
Okay.
And then Clay, the boy, him and his wife live in Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
Which works out good for Grandma and Grandpa.
Yeah.
In the winter, we can go stay with Kay and Claytlin. When they kick us out, we'll go to Megan and Max. And the next one, by that time, winter will be over.
Home. Get out of the cold weather. Go down there. Absolutely.
Yeah,
good plan.
Stay there a month or so before they get sick of you and go to the next place. Huh?
I thought that would be good.
Yeah. Yeah. Good thing they're spread around.
Yeah.
Is there one part of the country you prefer over the other with going to see the kids?
We went to Oklahoma right after I retired from Brickland, several years in a row, and we really enjoyed that. I haven't really spent enough time in Georgia to know anything about it.
No.
Okay.
I really like Georgia.
The one place we rodeoed that I really, really enjoyed was New Mexico. The finals in 73 was in Albuquerque.
The IPRA
finals was in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay.
And it was beautiful. I really liked it out there.
Yeah.
I think I could have stayed out there.
Okay. And what years did you photograph for the IFR?
Let's see. Oh, boy. 75, maybe. Because I timed 73 in 74, I think.
Okay.
And then after that, I started taking pictures.
Okay.
I worked the finals one
What's
year.
The stock contractor's name from down there in the Carolinas? Charlie?
Lowry?
Lowry, yeah. When we went to Zeb and them's wedding, they live right there anymore. I knew he'd be there. Him and I were at the finals. I picked up at the finals she mentioned. I asked him, I said, you remember me? He said, yeah, I remember you. You picked up at Albuquerque the year I won the average in the Bulldog.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
And how many years did you pick up at the finals?
Just two.
Two.
I didn't have real good luck at the finals. Went clear to Albuquerque. My check bounced. I was a year getting my money. And Gene Maynard and I were real good friends. Stayed next year. It was at Tulsa. And They only paid me $750 to go to Albuquerque. Gene called and wanted to know how much cheaper I could do it at Tulsa the next year. And I says, I just cashed a check from last year.
But they made the check good.
Dolphin got it made good for me.
Good deal.
It was January like they always are. I think I got my money the next October.
How difficult is that? Today, we can go to a machine and get money.
Yeah.
The boys have issues. They call, hey, Dad, Mom, can you put this in my account?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're talking in the 70s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wiring money.
Couldn't do that.
Yeah. Yet. How'd you get home?
Yeah. But anyway, Gene called, and they wanted me to come for $4.50.
Oh, wow.
Tulsa.
The Tulsa.
I said, you got to be drinking, Gene, pretty bad. You know? And I told him, I said, if I come, I'm bringing the family. We had our two kids and a boy we were raising at the time. Gene says, let me call you back. He called back. He's the headquarters is the Camelot Inn. He says, if I get your whole family rooms for 5 days for the finals and your food, you just sign a ticket at the cash register for all of you.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's worth a lot more than $300.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll be there.
So worked with you to make it happen. That's, worked with you,
Well, Gene was quite a guy.
Yeah.
That's somebody, too. One of the few people I wish we could have had on here
you
before
bet.
He passed.
You
Him and Benny Jordan.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, Ben Jordan, too.
Yeah. So what Ben Jordan stories might you have, memories might you have?
Well, Ben and I picked up at Tulsa together. Ben Sr., not Benny. We had a big time there. Ben was a great hunter with dogs, run wolves and all that crap out there. Mm-hmm. I don't know, his visit out there in the arena, he found out I had coon dogs. They might as well just shut the rodeo down. He never mentioned it again.
Lots to talk about,
That was a tough old booger old Ben was.
And his son?
Benny?
Yeah,
he was stories. A good kid.
Picked up with him, too, several times.
Okay.
Them guys, they were real-life cowboys. They weren't not country and western stars. They were the real thing.
I heard a story with Benny that Mike Fletcher said, told me. Mm-hmm. And he said, Mike said, Benny told me, he said he never wore a pair of sneakers in his life.
Is that right?
Always had boots on.
Yeah,
I believe that.
Always had boots on, and what a hand on a horse! And watching him pick up was just like so smooth.
There was no jerking. They used them horses every day at home.
Yeah,
I mean, the average guy like myself, I was laying brick. And I'd ride them horses, but then he liked putting them through them mountains 10, 12 hours a day. So on.
You know. Oh, exactly.
My story about picking up with Ben at the finals, that deal at Tulsa was a hockey arena. No room, and right where we had to go back and forth to get our fresh horses, team ropers got tying their horses in there. We couldn't get through, hardly. Ben went to the announcer and told him, telling guys they got to move them horses. So they're in the way. Of course, they pay no attention. We're riding back there to get a fresh horse. One of them kicked Ben the leg with both hind feet.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my.
He just stepped off his horse's lariat rope. It's downtown Tulsa, and there's an overhead door there as big as this building. He went to whipping horses and breaking bridles, and they're all running through downtown Tulsa.
Oh, my.
Some big guy come running across the Pinzer and swearing, which I won't.
Yeah.
Who did that? Somebody said, Ben Jordan. He says, and I bet by God every one of them needed it, too. He said, he wasn't going to take them with Ben.
No.
So.
And any memories of that? Go ahead, Doug.
No.
Oh, I thought you had some. Any memories of Gene Maynard you might share? In or out of the arena? In or out of the arena?
How much time do we have?
We got time. Let's hear them.
Well, get your flashlight, because we're going to be here a while. He come through our country when I was 20, probably, working for a racehorse man. They had ran thoroughbreds here at Toledo. And then he found out we roped and stuff somehow and got coming out the house and roping with us and stuff. And then we was friends from then on. Then he got drafted in the Army then. He was that age. Okay. And they got me about a year later in the Army, but we were friends for 60 years. But the greatest story I know about him, and this is true, but he had the driest sense of humor. We're there at the finals at Tulsa, and old Buck
Ford,
the one that had the dog Whiskey.
Oh, shoot.
Anyway, this guy, bareback rider, and he was quite a drinker and everything, Buck was. But he had this little Blue Heeler dog was really smart, had him taught a lot of tricks. And if he could get drunk, old Buck would say, I'm telling you, old Whiskey's so smart, he's going to talk one of these days. And he kept it up. Well, we went to the bar and they had a ventriloquist there. Gene hired that guy to follow Buck around. Old Buck say, I'm telling you, that dog's going to smart. And the dog say, how about right now? That went on for 4 or 5 days.
Oh, wow.
Gene, you couldn't rattle him at all. I don't know. Was down in Indiana somewhere at a J-Bar rodeo and I was picking up. And him and Maggie got crossways somewhere and weren't getting along real good. And Gene thought some other guys had entered him. And they hadn't. He walked over and looked at the list and he didn't say nothing. Maggie comes over there hee-hawing about it and everything. He says, what are you talking about? We're not entered. He said, well, I know I'm not entered. I just came up here to visit with Kenny.
Stories about Tom Moore. He's been on our show. Do you know Tom?
Yeah. He stayed at the house a couple times.
Yep.
Years ago when he was 18, 20. Right there where we live, the turnpike run through there in 75 was within, each of us within 10 miles. So we got lots of company.
Lots of visitors. Yeah. Not far off the highway.
Right. Yeah.
And they'd come by there. We had pens for the horses and stuff, and we enjoyed it. But he stayed by. I don't really know any great stories about him, but at that time he was 18, 20 years old.
Yeah, yeah. And he came out of the Wild West shows. That was one of the first ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He is, to the best of my knowledge, Tom's never had a job. Even when he was rodeoing, he'd come from up in, I think, upper Minnesota, up in there somewhere. He'd go home and trap all winter, come back to the rodeos in the summer.
But okay.
To go work by the hour, best of my knowledge, he never had a job.
Yeah.
And he's still making money.
He's still making money. Living in the Yak River Valley in Montana. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
But like he said, we had lots of guys stay at the house. And we were going to a rodeo, and Kenny had fixed up some plug-ins for campers and that. And we come home one day, and, of course, we never lock our doors. And there was 5 rigs in our yard. And we had 5 hide-a-beds down in our family room.
Okay.
And they always knew there was pens for their horses and hook-ups and beds in the house. So.
Well, Kenny Van Pelt, you know him.
Yeah.
He was the instigator of that deal. He said, if we come by, he'd tell me, you weren't home. I said, hell, the house ain't locked. Just make yourself to home. We come home that night, there were 17 people sleeping in the basement.
Oh, wow.
Kenny Van Pelt. Cookies for a lot of cowboys.
Yeah. And that support system, we've talked about that support system where you've been out running hard and long way home and nice to be able to pull in someplace and feel at home and have some home-baked cookies and that sort of thing.
I used to have a pretty decent garden. Red Dolphin and his crew, Zinzer, had that rodeo at Saline, remember, years ago, and then he had the one at Jackson. It was 4 or 5 days in between there. Red and his whole crew come to the house. That's Ronnie Williams and, I don't know, several
his
of them.
His boy.
Anyway, I had that garden. And I told him, I said, if you guys want anything out of that garden, just help yourself. My God, they about ate it up. I said to Red, I said, well, you're sure welcome to it. You know, and she'd cook him supper every night, too. He says, well, we hadn't eaten for 2 days when we got here.
Oh, wow.
He said, we was down to work. We had to save the money for the feed the bulldog and team and entry fees.
Oh, wow.
He said, we had to eat. They just about wiped that damn garden.
A herd of rabbits came through there and took care of it.
How about the time when Justin Rowe and Lenore and them stayed at the house? Justin was little then.
Come through there when Justin's still roaming right. He was probably 10. And I had a row of collarabbies out of them or not. But remember the cabbage family?
Okay.
And I'd go out there, pick them, peel them, just eat them. And Justin ate a couple of them. Next morning, I'm going to work, and he's sticking his head out of their camper door. You mind if I eat some of them collarabbies? And I said, no, go ahead. That row was 20 feet long. He ate every damn one of them.
He liked them.
He liked them. Yeah.
But.
Any stories about Lisa Harris?
Who?
Liesel. Did you guys do any work?
Not.
He really wasn't up and around.
We worked a lot of rodeos with him, but, you know, knowing him personally that well.
He made me feel good the year I timed at Albuquerque. That was my first big timing job, and I was a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
And I cried after every performance.
Oh, wow.
And he finally come and talked to me and says, "You're doing a good job. Don't worry about it. Just keep doing what you want."
The rest of that story is some of the old-timey hands, the women, they weren't going to have no Yankees doing nothing.
Okay.
And they were going to Lisa and tell them she didn't know what she was doing and all that crap.
And Lisa was the president of the association at that point.
And
he's also the guy that wrote me the bad check.
Oh, oh.
That part I remember.
Yeah. And there were some tough times.
Wasn't it more Lisa's fault? He's,
right.
He was the guy in position to write the check.
You bet.
You had to blame somebody.
Yeah.
And do you remember the ice storm in
Albuquerque?
Tulsa.
Yes,
at the finals.
We sat in a motel and watched people drive, and they didn't know how to drive down south there.
Yeah.
And they'd spin around and just, we sat in a motel and watched them out the window.
Yeah. Well, we went down there with Zinzers.
That time.
And Jim and I'd go to the stockyards, feed the stock. That kept them out there Sand Springs. That was more dangerous than going to the rodeo, just driving out there with the idiots.
Yeah.
They didn't know how to drive.
And the show went on, but no crowd, I'm understanding.
Right. That's what was wrong at Albuquerque, the way there was no money. As Ronnie Behringer used to say, "I've had more people at the house for supper."
Yeah. All right. Final question. You've lived a long, wonderful life, been involved in rodeo and the family of rodeo and memories and relationships. What advice, Kenny, would you share to a youngster that's getting started or wanted to get started in the sport of rodeo?
Well, they've got great opportunities that we didn't have. One of the first things that if he got to where, say, he wanted to ride bareback horses, get on enough of them, he knew he wasn't afraid, then go to the best clinic he could find.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he learned more there at that clinic in 30 days than we used to learn in 10 years.
Because
none of us knew what we was doing.
Yeah.
But that, to me, has made a terrific difference in rodeo. Education and stuff, these young people.
Yeah.
It's available to them.
Yeah.
Trying to get traveling partners that help you, boost you up.
Yeah.
And know what to do and when to do it. And, you know, learn from the best if you're going to do it.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't see a lot of the big crews like we used to see.
No.
Every barrel racer pulls in with a 30-foot trailer with one horse.
Yeah.
Shoot, they used to pack them in them little truck campers, 6-8 guys at a time.
Yeah.
They all had to get along.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, and they didn't even make them, these big aluminum trailers.
Yeah.
Hot thing for years was a two-horse inline where one horse stood in front of the other.
You bet.
You could pull them with a half-ton truck.
Yeah.
100 mile an hour if the truck had run that fast.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was done a lot.
Couldn't back them up, but you could go.
I could back them up.
Yeah, he could back them up.
Yeah, I had to, when you sat in there, remember it's like a hay wagon. And,
exactly.
Janet Kerr. Remember Janet Kerr?
Yes.
She could back one up.
Is that right?
She's the only woman I think I knew that could back one of them up.
I remember when we were crossing the Priest Bridge in Canada, and they wouldn't let us take the inline trailer across because they said if you got an issue, you couldn't get it backed out of there.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
You know.
I'll be darned.
That changes how you park and where you pull in.
Yeah.
It changes everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you sure we can go down this road and I don't have to turn this thing around?
True.
Well, this has been great, and thank you for the advice. For our listeners, and this has just been a lot of fun, and I'm glad we were able to connect at King Brothers Rodeo Reunion. And that's a cool thing about these reunions, all these memories and experiences that are there. And I just want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing your experiences.
Thank you very much for having us.
Well, Doug, this has been good.
This has been fun. Yeah. And to our listeners, we hope that you enjoyed our visit with Kenny and Deb Vaughn. And if you do, please share it with your friends. To make your listening easier, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube video, and any place that streams podcasts. So you simply search for Beyond the Chutes and follow us. Reminder, check out the IRA Project Facebook page. They've been such a great resource for us, Sam. They have shared so many great stories and pictures and been a big supporter of the show.
That's good, because I'm glad you're doing the work there, Doug.
And what can we say about Parasite System other than thank you?
Thank you
for being part of our podcast, and they have got the great medical devices that check, and it's a push-button parasitic diagnostic system for your pasture animals, your horses, cattle, goats, sheep, chickens, and for your companion animals, your dogs and your cats. They now offer mail-in testing, not only for your large animals, but now for your dogs and cats. You can find them at parasitesystems.com. And we have a coupon code BTC023 for 50% off your testing. We say, let's test, not just treat. Let's know exactly what it is we are working with and what we are trying to fight. And this is Beyond the Chutes with
Debbie Vaughn,
Kenny Vaughn,
Sam Sorensen.
Until next time, thank you for listening.